Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. And now, another actual five-star iTunes review of the podcast, read by Adam's buddy, Oswaldo.
Tangue no for ACS, blow for what, day every day.
Well, that's a mouthful. Thanks, Oz. Go to iTunes, rate and review the podcast, and maybe Ozzy will butcher your review, too. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Casper Van Dien, Alexander Nevsky, both in studio. Showdown in Manila, name of the new movie, out tomorrow. That's Friday, January 19th. And then On Demand, that will be on Thursday, January 23rd. Good to see you guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Good to see you. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Alexander, Mr. Universe three times, which is pretty incredible. And big actor, and you also wrote, you acted in and co-wrote or wrote the movie yourself?
Showdown, I created the story with Mark Dacascos and Craig Hammond. I created the story.
And in Russia, I got so many questions about Russia, especially now. You had a show called Self-Made Man that averaged 50 million viewers per week?
Yes, in the 90s. That's how I started my career.
Unbelievable. So we'll get into the movie in 1 second, but what do we need to know about Russia? What is it,
you know,
in
what,
2018? What do we need to know about Russia and, you know, Russians?
For me, it's unbelievable because I was born in Soviet Union, you know, and actually in 80s, like, I was very skinny kid. I was tall and skinny, you know, and I remember Cold War. Mm-hmm. Because, for example, we didn't have bodybuilding. Bodybuilding was illegal. You know why? Because Sly killed so many Russians in his movies. That was a reason for Soviet government just to ban sport completely, because they treated him as a bodybuilder. I said it to him personally, you know, and he was laughing about that. So we couldn't even name it bodybuilding. We named it athletic gymnastics. And I'll explain to you why I'm telling you that. So it was, I mean, when I started to train, it was 1986. And they didn't release Hollywood movies over there, of course, at the time. But someone showed Conan the Destroyer at Moscow Film Festival outside of competition. And me, I mean, I was 14 years old. I watched it. I was amazed.
It was made for you.
Blown away. Exactly. Exactly.
Brian got pedophilia made illegal in Hungary. A lot of people don't know that. He doesn't brag about it, but I'll brag for him.
If someone asked me about it, I'll be honest, but I don't like to bring it up.
It's not the kind of thing
he's
brag about.
He's very humble.
So it could happen. I'm saying.
So basically, I understand. I will not comment on that. But what I can say, I mean, talking seriously, I remember Cold War. I remember that. And for me, so many years later, in 2018, to have all the times again, I mean, I was on a flight once. I mean, I said it to Hollywood Reporter a week ago. I'll repeat it here. I was on a flight, and it's a long flight from Moscow to LA. I mean, it's 12 hours. So I watched like three movies in a row. It was November Man, Pierce Brosnan, Killing Russians. Mm-hmm. It was Taken 3, Liam Neeson, Killing Russians. And it was Equalizer with Denzel Washington, Killing Russians. Even Ray Donovan, for God's sake, it's my favorite TV show. He's Killing Russians in season 4.
Well, so, to be fair, we've decided a while ago that killing, like, brown people is frowned upon.
I know.
You know what I mean? So we don't like to kill black people or brown people. We need evil people with blue eyes that we can kill.
So now you kill Russians.
And you really narrow it down a lot.
Exactly.
We really just got dolphins.
You narrow the pool so small that we kind of have to kill Russians.
I understand that, but I think...
But it's because we're good people.
I know.
Lethal Weapon 2 went for South Africans, but that didn't stick. It didn't stick.
Yeah, we tried to push the South African thing for a while, but then apartheid ended and Nelson Mandela got let out. We're like, all right,
I'm
moving
sorry
on.
About that. Yeah, no.
But Russia, you guys are
fair
the
game.
Gift that keeps giving, you know?
I know, but funny thing is, in my films, in my previous film, Black Rose, and Showdown in Manila, which I hope you will like, because I guess you like same kind of movies, old-fashioned action movies.
Cobra,
you know?
Baby.
Exactly. So there's Russian and American fighting evil together, not fighting each other.
Ooh.
They're fighting evil together.
Like,
it's exactly like that in my films, because again, with all due respect to entertainment, Hollywood, and all these people, I mean... There's two greatest countries in the world. It's America and Russia, with all due respect to everyone else. And we shouldn't be enemies. We shouldn't create another hate and another Cold War. We shouldn't do that,
yeah.
In my opinion, you know?
Listen up, shitholes.
Yeah,
exactly.
There's two big players here. It's America, the USA, and it's Russia.
Yeah,
it's Russia.
Oh, wait a minute. No, that's a different movie.
So, Casper, you couldn't be more American.
I am the most American.
Your dad, you come from, first of all, you got the all-American good looks. You got the dad with the military experience. What did your dad fly in the military?
He flew a lot of different planes, but he was out hunting.
Russians.
Yeah, the submarines, the nuclear submarines. My dad's job was hunting nuclear submarines. Wow. Oh, look at, they got one of them up.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
P2Vs. He flew P2Vs. That's a P2V. He's got
Captain Van Dien waving to us.
Yeah, he's. I tweeted his picture on Instagram a while ago. Or I guess it's not tweeting. Instagrammed it. It's so awesome to see that. I was, you know, he was the flight instructor at the Naval Base in Florida when I was born. So
did he? What was the second plane he flew? The big? Is that a C-130?
Yeah, C-130. Called something different. It was to it.
The thing that's crazy about the big transport planes is they load up, you know, 5 M1 Abram tanks into the plane. And if you ever come upon a tank and thump a tank with your knuckle, you'll go, this thing couldn't be moved with 1,000,000,000, you know, forklifts. Like, how are we going up to 30,000 feet with this in our belly? Well, there'll be 5 of them.
Yep. Oh.
Like, it's crazy, the lifting of what air can do. I mean,
he used to also fly in and out of Da Nang. When I was living in Japan, my little sister was born in Japan in 1970, 71, but he used to fly in and out of Da Nang and do the transport from, we'd be staying in Japan, he'd fly over there and then take the troops out of Da Nang into Hong Kong for the liberties and leaves. And his plane would always get shot at, and you know, he'd get, you know, just like as he was going and everything like that. But he always said he wasn't in combat because he couldn't fire back.
It's flying transport stuff. So the movie, I just saw the trailer. It's nonstop action. It looks amazing. It's shot somewhere. Where's it shot?
In the Philippines, in Manila.
In the Philippines. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yep. All over the Philippines, but mainly in Manila, which is just fantastic. The smell over there during the summer and when you're in the fish market and, and the heat and the humidity.
It's just awesome.
It's just intense.
April fresh.
You've been there, right, Chris Maxipana?
Sure have, yeah. I have.
What's it smell like in the summer?
Oh, it's nice.
Yeah, it is. A lot of it is beautiful. The Philippines is so beautiful. The people are great, and it's a lot of fun over there. And they would always hand me, like, Manny Pacquiao energy drinks all the time. So when I saw Brian opening his energy drink over there earlier, I was just really impressed.
Oh, yeah, a little endless rant.
The new lager.
I call that an energy drink.
Hey, how are you liking your lager?
It's great. It's crisp. I was worried that it was going to be, you know, like super light for the summer, but it's got like some body to it. It's a nice, crisp, easy drinking beer, but it's got some body. I think beer drinkers are going to love it.
Oh, thanks.
It's real good.
You got that. You can go ahead and go to Corolla Drinks. Say hi to Lynette and Jay over there. Enjoy the lager.
Can I ask Alexander a question?
Go right ahead.
As it pertains to movies, so when the Soviet Union dispersed, were there a flood of Hollywood movies, or was it still the same thing, or did it trickle in, or was there a change, basically?
Hollywood movies weren't released over there in the 90s, but of course we got them all on pirated videos.
Okay.
So we watched them all, you know, and actually that's when I fall in love, not just with Stallone and Schwarzenegger and Kasper's movies and Dacascus's movies and everyone else, but also with Oliver Stone and Martin Scorsese, which helped me a lot later because I represent Russia at the Hollywood Foreign Press and I vote for the Golden Globe Awards, you know. So I'm kind of like unusual bodybuilder you have around. So, but let me tell you, when I moved to California first time in 1999, I live in Westwood because I wanted to learn English at the UCLA Extension. And my teacher told me to read everything just to understand English better. And I read a magazine, Street Zebra. It was a magazine, and it was your column over there. Over there in the 90s, Street Zebra Sport Fitness Magazine.
Huh.
Yours and Jimmy's. You wrote a column over there.
I
remember
no
it was funny.
That.
It was great. So I'm your fan for a long time.
God. Wow.
Exactly. I remember
years.
That, Adam.
It took 2 years.
Street Zebra Magazine. Exactly.
Street Zebra.
Street Zebra. So
sounds like a porno.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
That was his name in the movie.
No, it wasn't.
Check out that Street Zebra.
I used to write some like columns for like, I don't know, Vogue Teen or something like that. But it really be people just call me up and I talk their ear off and they type and then they form it into something. So who do you think knows the movie Cobra better, you or I?
To be honest with you, I think I know it better. I even stole a couple. I told you I stole a couple of scenes from Cobra into my directorial debut, Black Rose, which is on Netflix now.
We have, by the way, I think we have that.
Exactly.
We have the two scenes to
compare.
To compare and contrast. And yes, I've never stolen any scenes.
So you love Cobra. It less.
Yeah. Cobra's boots.
Yeah, there's that.
Right
boot.
Out of the murk. Slammed sled.
Now your movie.
Now we're going to watch your movie. Pulling up in a Hummer. Same angle, same camera shot.
Yeah!
But music.
Music like the and remix. Boots. There he is.
Took it up a
notch. I love that you love Cobra.
I love it. It's a great movie.
I'm going to be up on stage next week at the Irvine Improv. And that's this coming Thursday, January 25th, doing the basic cable commentary, breaking down the game film of Cobra on stage. So what a beautiful time. What a beautiful piece of timing this is.
You both should go together. You should bring the Russian over there.
It's an unbelievable movie. It's just unbelievable movie. And Sly, he's unbelievable because he inspired so many people with his movies and everything. I mean,
he made me want to get into law enforcement, although I never did.
I am the law.
Yeah, he plays by his own rules, man. So how did you guys get put together then?
First of all, if I talk about Showdown in Manila, I was really inspired by Expendables, you know, and I like the movie a lot because Sly got so many people together. And of course, it was Arnold and Bruce, but it was also Eric Roberts and Gary Daniels, who they also action icons. They just did smaller movies before. So I thought Casper Van Dien, he deserved to be in Expendables. Kerry Tagawa, Mark Dacascos, all of them deserved to be in Expendables. They just didn't make it for some reason, including me. I mean, we didn't make it for some reason. So we decided to do our own version of Expendables. And I hope, again, with you loving Cobra, I hope you will love that film and all your audience who like old-fashioned action movies. Because, we have icons. It's Casper, and Mark Dacascos is making his directorial debut. And I know that, recent audience knows him as Iron Chef America or whatever, but he was doing unbelievable movies like Cradle to the Grave before and Only the Strong and things like that.
Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Casper, Starship Troopers, I never thought about it, but do you go to like these
conventions?
Yes.
You know, nerd cons and things like Comic Cons.
Yeah, I go to them all the time.
They must, because there's such a reverence for that movie. You know, people look at it as sort of a groundbreaker.
It is.
I go wherever I go. Somebody will yell. Inevitably, somebody will go, Rico, what are you doing here? We want to kill some bugs. And I'm like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, I'm getting gas or toilet paper. It happens.
Right.
But and my kids are so used to it because it's just something that happens. And I love that movie. I had so much fun in it. And Paul Verhoeven was, he's an amazing director as well. So it was just a thrill for me to be in that. And it's still, it's something I've never was Johnny before, but I've been Johnny for the last 20 years now.
Well,
has been kind to that movie too.
Yes.
Like, I feel like it wasn't quite understood when it came out, and it has been embraced as what I think is a great movie.
Always loved it. I haven't seen it quite as many times as Cobra, but I've seen it into the high teens. Let me tell you about some of our sponsors helping us out for this half of the show. Simply Safe. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. 24/7 protection, just $15 a month, and visit Zoom. Set up your free account today, and also, of course, Geico. Geico.com. Save some money on your auto insurance with Geico. All right, guys, you want to do a quick break and then the news?
Let's do it.
Do it that way. We'll be right back with the news.
Corolla Drinks presents a weekend of live music. Friday night at the Majestic Ventura Theater with Loxy, Mike Dawson, and headlining the Zeppelin tribute band, Zoso. A portion of the proceeds from Friday night in Ventura go to aid the victims of the Thomas Fire. Saturday night, we're back in Long Beach at D Piazza Pizza. Just another Southern California. Loxy and the Smokin' Kills. So join us for an endless rant and some live music. Friday night at the Ventura Theater. Saturday night at D Piazza in Long Beach. Tickets and more information online at CorollaDrinks.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking going viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drug meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Alexander. So, Russia. What do we need to know? What's going on? What's going on with Trump and Russia? I'm trying to think if somebody said to me from Russia, like, what's going on with Americans? Like, how are they wired? Like, what are they thinking? I'd probably go, I guess they're really independent. They don't want the government telling them what to do, or some of them do, but we basically want to be left alone, and we're generally good, basically. What's going on with Russia? Like, the general psychology of your average Russian, and how far apart are we?
Let me tell you, and Kasper here is my witness, because we had the world premiere of Showdown Manila in Moscow in Russia, and film was already successful, theatrical release over there, and we had a premiere in the biggest Moscow theater. We had 2,000 people at the premiere, and they all cheer for Kasper, not only because of Starship Troopers and Showdown Manila, but also because he's an American actor who went there, I mean, with open heart and everything. And to answer your question shortly, I think we're really the same, because, I mean, maybe because of all the tragedies we had in the 20th century in Russia, we laugh less and we smile less on the streets, right? But, I mean, if you're there, I don't know if you've been there, right?
No, I haven't.
But even Stephen Colbert, you know, he was doing so many anti-Russian shows and jokes, whatever. After he went to Moscow and St. Petersburg personally, he fell in love with Russia. Because, I mean, if we're not talking politics, but talking about regular people, they still like America. They love America, you know?
What's Putin think of America?
He likes America, and he wants to be friends with America. And I know it's not fashionable to say good things about President Donald Trump in Los Angeles and in Hollywood, but
what?
I think, to be honest with you, you know, the fact that he wants to be friends with Russia, there's nothing wrong with that, you know? We, as I said, we don't need another Cold War. I know we have a funny show and everything, making jokes, but we don't need another huge hate between us. Because I remember the time, again, I was born in Soviet Union. I remember when we were waiting for you guys to bomb us, and it was exactly the same thing here, you know? We don't freaking need that.
I agree.
Exactly.
That's the good people of Hawaii. How much you need?
Oh, yeah.
How much you need missiles raining in?
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, let's do a little news, Gina
right.
Grant.
Well, Matt Damon shutting his mouth when it comes to the Me Too movement is now upon us, because remember, he came, quote unquote, under fire last month after he talked about sexual misconduct in Hollywood. And many say that Matt put his foot in his mouth when he said, quote, there's a spectrum of behavior. There's a difference between patting someone on the butt and rape or child molestation, right? Both of those behaviors need to be confronted without question, but they shouldn't be conflated, right? Well, people like Alyssa Milano, ex-girlfriend Minnie Driver.
Foot in his mouth.
They slammed
he said
him
the truth?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Foot in mouth disease.
All right, so next time somebody describes gravity, that'd be them putting their foot in their mouth, like if I take an apple and I drop it and it hits the ground.
Correct. That's,
that could be a version of putting your foot in your mouth.
There will be outrage and backlash.
Great.
Here's a clip of Damon walking some of those comments back on this.
It's funny. I heard it. It's weird. If you close your eyes, it's probably better, because it's essentially somebody apologizing for something they're A, not sorry for saying, but B, don't think was wrong, and is confused that people think is wrong. But somebody goes, look, you want a career here in Hollywood? Yeah, just get out there and dance for the man, or in this case, the lady. But go out there and apologize. And he's like thinking, well, not only, like, it's, you can feign an apology if I called you dumb or fat or cross-eyed or whatever like that. I can throw out a quick one. You can tell he's trying to apologize over a statement that not only he's not sorry for, but factually is completely 100% accurate. All right, but go ahead. Let's hear it.
What have you learned from that whole experience?
Boy, I really wish I'd listened a lot more before I weighed in on this.
And, you're a good listener, though, Matt.
No, well, not in this case.
It's hard-hitting.
I think ultimately what it is for me is that I don't want to further anybody's pain with anything that I do or say. And so for that,
I'm
really sorry. And you know, this whole, like, time's up.
A lot
of those women are my dear friends, and I love them and respect them and support what they're doing, and, you know, and want to be a part of that change and want to go along for the ride. But I should get in the back seat and close my mouth for a while.
That's right. Everyone shut up. Yeah. You can't talk about any. The thing about this country, You guys are lucky. You're Russia all the same. Over exactly. here, you can't talk about what's ailing the black community or this community or that community unless you're in the community. So you can't talk about gay or black or Hispanic or women or any, you can't talk about anything unless you were either in that, you have to be the president of that group and then you get to talk about it. If you're not in that group, you can't weigh in on it.
Yeah, but you know, the president of that group, and it can sometimes be like that white lady that was pretending to be black.
Yeah.
Oh, Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah, yeah. So she was the president of that group. And
she was literally the president of that chapter.
I mean, you're telling me, and she wasn't, which is so odd. So, I mean, we have a strange country. I'll agree with you on that one.
That'd be funny for her parents. What's Rachel up to? Died in a dirigible accident. Now I'll never speak of it again.
I have no follow-up questions.
Okay.
Let me tell you that I'm under fire in Russia right now. I'll explain to you why. Because I was doing an interview with Hollywood Reporter right before Golden Globes, right? And a lady asked me what I'm thinking about Harvey Weinstein. And again, I mean, I'm from Russia, so I just don't know what I can say, what I cannot say. But I told her what I thought, because I met Weinstein many times through Hollywood Foreign Press, because he's a brilliant producer, and he produced brilliant movies, I mean, through Miramax and Weinstein Companies, and they were nominated and everything. And I said to her, I don't know if I can say that, but of course, if I knew what he was doing with women, I would punch him in his freaking face right away. And she put it into the magazine, right? And they quoted me in Russia, and it was like main news in Russia for like 2 days.
Oh, no.
Wynevski wants to punch Harvey Weinstein in the face. It's not polite to punch him in the face. I mean, it's and someone punched Harvey after that, right?
Oh,
someone
yeah.
Someone slapped
yeah,
him in Arizona.
Slapped yes, him a little.
Exactly. Yeah. Alexander!
Exactly, yeah. Not that hard, unfortunately, but yeah.
Well, speaking of which, TMZ reports that actor Timothy Chalamet, who starred in Woody Allen's upcoming film A Rainy Day in New York, says he's donating his entire salary to the Time's Up initiative. The Call Me By Your Name star said he can't discuss his decision to work with the controversial director, quote, because of contractual obligations, but did say, quote, I don't want to profit from my work on the film. So having it both ways.
All right. Well, let's vote for Hero McDouchebag when those Oscars come around. All right. Yeah. I guess it's good. He's better than I am.
But for donating the salary?
Yeah, I would never.
Who pressured him to do that? Said, look, you want a career? You just start a movie of people who are the most hated director in the
current
I don't
think he
history.
Paid a lot for a Woody Allen film anyway. So it's like, you can donate this $700,000 and Save move your, on with your life.
Yeah, my feeling with all this stuff, although it becomes a catch-22, which is if you did it and we never heard about it, we never found out about it, and I like ran into you in a bar in 8 years and I went, hey, what was it like working with Woody Allen? And did you buy a new Trans Am car when you were done with the paycheck? And he went, no, I donated the whole thing to the Me Too movement. I'd go, wow, I respect that. But then when you have a press conference about it, then it flies in the face of why I like
it.
I guess.
Well, interesting.
It's what it is. So it's weird. It's like, if it's silent but deadly, then I appreciate the fart. Thank you.
Oh, that was really well said. Mm-hmm.
What do they have?
I was waiting for it.
In Russian, let me ask you this. We have silent but deadly. That's a fart that has no audible sound, but is very powerful in the smell department. What do they call it in Russian?
You mean when... my English is not that perfect.
So. It's when you fart, you lay a really stinky one, but it's so quiet, nobody hears it. But all of a sudden, it starts smelling, and everybody goes, oh, my God. And somebody will go, good one. Or most people go, get out of here. Good That's one. Disgusting.
That's called silent but deadly. And then somebody would then accuse somebody of whoever smelt it, dealt it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you guys have a Russian version of that.
Let me make an official statement. We don't fart in Russia at all.
let me
make an official statement now.
Maybe that's why you guys don't smile
to call
so much.
We don't fart at all in Russia.
That's
interesting.
No, it's why they don't smile over there. We fart all the time. Look at all the smiles here.
We're happy people.
I'll tell you, I had an English girlfriend once, and I said, what do you call your John Does in England? He said, Joe Bloggs. And I thought, it makes sense. John Does, us. Joe Bloggs would be them, and it's always satisfying to hear what another nation calls their whatever. And then I work with a director from Sweden, and I said, what do you call your missing, mutilated or decapitated bodies that like wash up on the riverbank?
Unidentified.
Yeah, and he said, we don't have a name for that. And I thought, what a utopia.
Yeah.
We had to create a name for all the corpses that were washing up.
Casper has a nice story about Kiki. Tell the story about Kiki.
We had a movie. In the movie, we have this character played by this wonderful young Filipino girl.
In Showdown in Manila.
And her name in the movie was Kiki. And so we've been calling her Kiki the whole time. She's just a young girl and really sweet and everything like that. And she's Kiki. And we're about to do a scene. And she goes, by the way, do you guys know what Kiki means in Filipino? And I go, no. And it means vagina. And we're like, oh. Both of us turn beet red, and that's just when they go, yell action. So this whole time, I'm like, why didn't anybody tell us? You know, I mean, you wrote the script. I didn't write it. I'm calling
right,
this
little girl. Kiki.
Yeah, exactly.
But no research.
After that, I always called her more romantic. Like before, like, Kiki, let's do that. Kiki.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
You're going to get written up again.
Yes,
you're going to make the headlines again. Wait, Alexander, what do they call a missing person in Russia?
American.
We
missing person?
Yeah, I mean, we have John Doe or Jane Doe.
That's the name we give to anyone we can't identify.
If we pull a body out of a car fire and they can't identify the body, they'll call it a Jane Doe or John Doe.
No, we don't have a name for missing bodies.
You gotta have a name. Look at
it. They just don't talk about it over there.
Yeah. I guess not.
Putin's enemy.
Nope.
Yeah. Enemies of the state.
No, pretty much.
Who cares? He needs them.
Yeah. He must have done something to deserve it.
All right. What else?
Well, yet another 80s package will rock out this summer. The Lost 80s Live Tour will bring back early MTV favorites like A Flock of Seagulls, Wang Chung, Animotion, The Romantics, Missing Persons, and a day after they were dropped by the rival Retro Futura Tour, Men Without Hats. The curtain's going to go up on this August 3rd in Coney Island. Then 7 more dates have been announced covering Colorado, Texas, and California, so we can attend these.
So
the whole concert's 22 minutes long.
Chris says in Russia, the unnamed corpses or lost people have lost their memory and can't identify themselves. Imya Rek and also Ivan Rek?
No, just Ivan.
Just an Ivan.
Yeah, so either it's...
Where did you get it? On Google?
Yeah. Got on Google.
I mean...
There's your next movie, Ivan Rek, like John Wick. Yeah. Ivan Rek.
Ivan Rek.
They killed his dog.
I never heard about that, but we can go with that. Yeah. Google never lies, right?
No.
Never.
So this is a washed up 80s tour.
Yeah, that's what they're calling it. The washed up 80s tour. Flock of Seagulls, Wang Chung, Animotion, Romantics, Missing Persons, and Men Without Hats. So get your tickets.
Safety dance.
Yep. Well, the Jersey Shore reunion show could be down one cast member. Mike the Situation Sorrentino has reportedly reached a plea deal in his tax fraud case. So according to the blog The Blast, the Situation has had a change of heart since rejecting an offer from federal prosecutors last week. He and his brother will plead guilty and could be looking at some jail time. Mike and his brothers are accused of not paying taxes on about $9 million in earnings on various endeavors, including a tanning salon in New Jersey.
Can we? I'd like the right tax system a little more based on this. Like, you take that guy, you size him up. If you would have got that guy in his senior year in high school and got the U.S. government and said, okay, this guy's going to pay taxes. What's our Mason-Dixon line? I think most people at the Treasury would sign off on $1,800 a year. Like, we'd go like this, dude.
If we can get that.
We've read. We've seen your SAT scores. We've seen your GPA. Abs. We've seen your abs.
Yep.
If we made somewhere around $2,000 a year for your working career, we would look at that as a plus as a U.S. government. And somehow these guys stumble into something where they're making tens of millions of dollars. And the next thing you know, they owe the government
millions
of dollars. Yeah. No, I have this, I just have a ledger. I have people that are on the plus side and people that are, I have people that are in the boat rowing and I have people that are sitting and dragging their feet in the water as we're rowing. And I don't like it like Wesley Snipes or whoever. Once you pay in like $10 million, if you didn't pay the next $10 million, we're still way ahead of where you or anyone in your family or your neighborhood growing up, like, has ever contributed. And it's the weird thing is the people that pay the least complain the most about the people who have paid the most. Now, look, if you were born on third base and your dad's a big wig and you're born into this rich family and your dad's, you know, Henry Ford or something, and then there's a bunch of tax evasion, I feel differently about that. But if you grow up in a poor neighborhood, come up, make something of yourself, do whatever, pay in millions of dollars. I don't know. I like to cut you a break. You're way ahead. And when everyone says pay your fair share, well, they paid way more than anyone else in their high school. If you took the average of anyone who went to Cherry Hill High School outside of New Jersey or wherever. I don't know where they went, but you take the average senior class from his senior class and what they're paying in, the average would be $3,700 because a certain amount of them would be in rehab and a certain amount of them would be in jail and a certain amount of them would be living on,
it's true.
Be living on the dole. They'd be taking money from the government. Like if you average it out, it'd be 37. That's his fair share. Everything above that's gravy.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I'm from Jersey, so, you know, anybody like that, you know, it's fine. You've seen him, somebody like that make it, and then...
That's what I'm, he's essentially, I know what you're saying about you've worked hard, you've picked up your bootstraps, you've exceeded your expectations, but this guy's a lottery winner. He's no different than a lottery winner. He's a mook from Casper's hometown, somewhere in Jersey.
Who got lucky. Saw Casper.
And, yeah, totally, he made more money than me.
But Casper actually worked hard to get where he is. This guy's a mook, ended up on a reality show.
Come on, man,
show.
Give a guy a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, come some slack. These were bunches of businesses that he started with that money. Mm-hmm. He started businesses that he didn't pay the taxes on. These are tanning salons. So he took that money that and was putting it back into... Give me a hit off that beer. I want to taste something. I'm done. I'm done thinking about this.
Gets a little parched with ranting.
Pretty good.
Well, Donald... You like that?
That's nice, yeah. Like I like the IPA, but this is nice. Mm-hmm.
Crisper, cleaner for the summer.
Yeah. Less hoppy if IPA is not your thing.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you.
Well, Donald Trump received a clean bill of health from the White House physician, but some aren't totally buying the results, and director James Gunn wants to know the truth. So the Guardians of the Galaxy director's biggest problem...
The guy makes raccoons talk wants to know the truth.
He's going to get the bottom of this. With the medical report is that the president's weight, which is said to be 239 pounds, he's not buying that. Gunn doesn't believe that a man who's 6'3 and eats fast food and doesn't exercise can weigh 239, so he's offering $100,000 to get Trump back on the scale. Gunn tweeted, quote, "I will give $100,000 to Trump's favorite charity if he will step on an accurate scale with an impartial medical professional okayed by both of us, for real."
Both of us.
He had it. Yeah, the hashtag Girther.
Yeah. I'm probably not going to happen.
No, probably
not. I talked to Dr. Drew about this, and it was also kind of funny because I've been telling people this basically my entire adult life, which is Dr. Drew says there's a difference between being fit and being in good health. Right. Dr. Drew is a very fit guy that needed his prostate removed a few years ago. That's not good health.
Right.
That's good fitness. We watch too many action movies, sorry, fellas, and we mistake like fitness.
I'm taking this totally personal.
For health. Yes, you guys are very fit, but that's not the same as good health.
Right.
You can,
Not necessarily.
No. It helps.
It can.
And it can, but it doesn't mean that guys who are very fit can get cancer or be in poor health or have diseases or whatever.
And the opposite.
Yes. And somebody said, well, the opposite's definitely true, but we see that. Like, see, well, the guy drinks, he smokes, he's overweight. Of course he's going to. And the answer is what the guy gave at the press conference when he's like, hey, the guy drinks Diet Cokes and eats chicken all day. How can he be in good shape? And he goes, good genetics. Like if you don't have the there's genetics where cancer just riddles your body. Brian got a brain tumor. What age?
30.
Right.
31.
Because you chain smoked and you ate KFC all day.
Oh, heroin. Yeah.
No, you just got it. So there's being in good health and then there's being fit. That's the difference. He's not fit, but he just got a genetic.
He may very well be in good health.
It's genetic hand dealt to him where he eats KFC and he's not dying.
Some would call that a superpower. He might be a superhero.
Let me tell you something. All the macrobiotic and all the protein shakes and all the yoga
sprouted
in the world
beans.
And all that, you trade it all for good genes.
Yeah.
Trade it all for just good damn genes. Yeah. You'll see your 90th birthday with good genes versus macrobiotic diet and staying out of the sun with bad genes. You're not going to see your 60th.
Yep.
That's what we should all hope for.
Well, a man was booted off a British Airways flight from Iceland after putting on 10 shirts and 8 pairs of pants to avoid excess baggage fees. Ryan Carney Williams was expecting to be able to just stroll onto his flight. He was instead denied a boarding pass and turned away at Iceland's airport. He claims he was arrested and maced for attempting to board the plane, but according to the Iceland Monitor, airport security was called because he was being disruptive.
Was he going to Iceland?
He was leaving Iceland, going back
to
Britain, I believe.
If you're going from Britain to Iceland, you go, I'm going to a place with name ice in it, all right?
Understood. Be careful.
Yeah, I don't make maps for a living. I have no idea what the topography is over there, but it's called Iceland.
Sorry, I didn't bring up
and all I have is a windbreaker. Yeah. So I'm layering, baby.
Yep.
That's what that would be my argument too there, but if you're
but
leaving,
now you're screwed,
right?
Because you're going home. So the ordeal didn't end there. Williams was turned away from a flight the next day on EasyJet, and EasyJet told the Telegraph they were concerned about reports of his behavior the previous day, but they had provided him a full refund. He eventually arrived back in the UK after taking a flight with Norwegian Airlines. I have a couple of clips for you. Here's a clip of Carter's from his Twitter page with him wearing all of his clothing.
Now, is he taking a stand?
I was going to say, this feels...
Well, he's taking a stand against baggage fees.
No, but I mean, there's two versions of everything.
Aggressive piercing guy.
We all have the thing of like, there's two modes. It's like, I don't want to pay $50 for this bag, or screw you guys, this is wrong, I'm taking a stance.
Right.
So is this, I'm taking a stance?
Well,
I'm literally taking a stance against this in unjust rule, or I don't have $50.
You know, I think you make a great point. If this went completely viral, he tweeted about it. So I think, yes, he wanted to take a bigger stand.
Some people, my first thought is similar to that. Some people are just trying to throw me off this plane, man, and see what happens. Like, you know, some guys invite that kind of conflict.
Because they want to be able to sue.
Yeah, or just like the attention on social media or whatever it is. He's got the camera. He's filming himself beforehand. He's filming the agents.
He'll continue
to, he's being combative in a sense. Like, he's pre-combative.
Also, this like, notion. Can I say this? We are really weird because as I told you, I went to an expensive sushi place the other day with just my wife, and they just tacked on the gratuity. Like, we already spent $200 on sushi, and then it was another $39 worth of tacked on tip. And they just go,
two people.
It'll be another $40, just boom. And I'm like, it's not a party over eight or any of this stuff, which I still totally disagree with. You got a party of 15, figure out what the tip is and put it in. It might be high, it might be low. It's called a tip, but that's how it works. Or maybe my service wasn't fantastic or whatever. But they just tack it on. So you just go, all right, I got a sushi. It's $200 worth of sushi. It's another $40 worth of built-in gratuity, which is just basically a tax, a tariff, or whatever you want to call it. And they tack it on. You stay at a hotel room and you look down at the service charges and on the city tax and the resort fee and stuff. It's insane. And then you go on an airline and you're going to pay $87 to fly from here to Chicago's O'Hare, and you get indignant when they want $25 for your bag because of the weight and the Jet A fuel. I don't know who decided flying it's an inherent right. Like, it should be free for me, and I should have a steamer trunk with a corpse in it, and I should be able to go all throughout the land for practically free when people used to die doing this. People die getting across this country. The Donner Party and God knows what else. I said earlier, Donner Pass. Was that named the Donner Pass before they got there and died? We'll look into it.
How ironic.
I bet it wasn't, and
no,
I wouldn't go the way.
Here.
And then I announced, I don't want any passes named after me or my children. It's a Russian roulette. Sorry, Alex, what I'm saying is like it could be a great thing or it could be a horrible, horrible thing that this pass was named after you. But I understand that jet fuel's expensive, that space is a premium, and if I would like to travel with an extra bag or check something or whatever it is, presumably I'm doing it so I don't have to buy a new wardrobe wherever I land or buy sundries or whatever the expensive, whatever thing. I'll give you $50 for the bag. I don't find that outrageous in a world where a parking ticket is $85 on the West Side. Why are we so indignant about this? A, you can take a goddamn bus or a train. B, you don't have to pack two bags. You can pack one bag. And then C, it's just weight and fuel and space. It's just, it's a simple equation. You just ask your dad the pilot. You just got it. It's a little more fuel and a little more space and you pay a little more money. What is the deal?
I would imagine it's because that's a relatively new thing. When, you know, we were kids, that you just bring your bags.
Yeah, but this guy's
fee.
This guy's 37. Like, I don't know. I get it's relatively new, but everything is all the taxes and all the tariffs and all the things are relatively new.
Yeah, but you know, but we have all this, but we don't do a weight for it. We don't weigh how many people
we
go
should
on
do
or the
that.
Kids
we should do.
We don't
great
do what
idea,
the kids
Casper.
Are, the little kids. You know, like, do you get a discount for your kids going on because they don't weigh as much or something like that, too? So you don't have that
well,
either.
Well, Matt Damon has started a new hashtag called Fat Bitches Pay More because he's looking to get himself out of the doghouse.
He's going to get
he wants all the husky women weighed before they get on. Oh, yeah.
That's
It's true. You got to look at it.
Google it.
Yeah, he wants them all weighed.
I'm surprised you haven't heard about it.
He says, even though I'm rich, even though I'm wealthy, I'm tired of paying. Yeah.
A fuel surcharge.
But you got to pay the same for your kids. You have to pay for the same for your kids. Or what about when you can bring one of those animals, one of the service animals, if you have a service animal, too?
Well,
you
Adam supports that 100%.
Don't get me started. Listen, I'm going to be wildly consistent here. I would like to just pay my fair share of taxes, growing up where I grew up, the time I grew up, the average income of the people I grew up with, or the people in the neighborhood, whatever. I'd like to pay that. And I'd like to pay a little bit more for weighing more than the average citizen when I take a flight. And then I'd like to save a few bucks when my kids fly because they're lighter. I want you weighed, you and your luggage, all weighed, one package. And my feeling is if you're a jockey, fly with three bags and fly for free.
That's the word. You have one average weight you can hit, and it depends if it's on your body or you're carrying it.
But you could also just they just do a general average price that they get, and then you go with that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, weighing everybody seems a little bit like it's going to take a lot longer.
No, I was just agreeing, so I thought it was your idea.
No, man, I think it's crazy. I mean, then we also have to think about how much more time that would take if we went on the airport and we all had to be weighed.
It'll never work that way. But what I'm saying is,
a fat pass.
The bag is extra. It's extra weight. It's extra space. And if you choose to bring an extra bag, then you should be all right to pay for it. And you're getting from here to Chicago for $187. You're so far ahead of anyone who was ever born before you in this on this planet that don't complain. This is a non-problem. And or choose not to fly or choose to fly Southwest or some airline that has its policy where you fly for free.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
But let's see the guy anyway.
Come on, guys. Look at this shit.
He's wearing
dressed like this to go home, and he won't even let me go home.
All right, and then he turns the camera on the staff on the TSA.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Can you explain why I can't get on the flight? Why can't I fly? Why can't I fly? Can you explain? Don't touch me. Don't touch me. Why am I not allowed to fly?
I hate this guy.
Do we have to call the police?
Yeah.
I hate this guy. I love his accent.
I'm not done anything wrong.
You cannot.
I got to say, there's this new thing going on with cameras. Mm-hmm. Everyone feels entitled to like film everybody all the time.
I hate that.
And I was, of course you do, Rico.
Yeah.
I was, I cut a guy off on the freeway totally inadvertently yesterday, just driving down the freeway. There wasn't a lot of traffic. It wasn't anything violent or anything. I had my blinker on and everything. He was just like in my blind spot. And I just started, and he started with the horn, and I did the sorry. Like, it was just in that blind spot. There's people that will take their front driver's side wheel and put it on your rear. Mm-hmm. Sorry, they take their front passenger side wheel and put it on your rear driver's side wheel, and they'll just live there.
Yep.
It's a bad place to live, but that's where that guy was living. It's still my fault. I had my blinker on. I started to move over. He started honking the horn. I was ahead enough where I just sort of slid past him. I gave him the hand wave. My bad. And about 5 minutes later, he pulls up next to me, and the guy in the passenger seat's got his camera out, and he's like filming or taking pictures. Like, I don't know if this is part of the police record, the official record, or like, has somebody cut off His Highness on his way to the palace, and now we're going to have him drawn and quartered. But I remember kind of thinking, like, do we have to film everything?
Yeah.
You're in a car on a freeway. Like, it happens. People switch a lane.
This is a Venn diagram with the people who get in the fender bender on the freeway, and the cars can be pulled off if they wanted to, but they go, get out, it's a crime scene, start taking pictures, it's like, no, pull off and do that. You don't have to, because it happened in their world in this center of it, now we got to take pictures, we got to diagram everything.
They stop in the middle, it's terrible when they do that. You have to pull over legally, and taking pictures, I think, you can take pictures after the fact, but taking somebody like filming you, that's just...
It's not going to affect
an intimidation.
It feels like an invasion of your privacy.
It felt very invasive. And
this seems ridiculous, this guy with all the clothes all over him and then filming it like that. It's definitely...
He should be
beat up at the airport. Unfortunately, it's impossible to beat a guy up before he's
Send Alexander over there and have him punch him in the
all
face.
All the body work in the world. He's never going to feel it.
I almost felt that.
But when a kiss, I'd call your mother.
Even from a great and powerful man.
Can I tell you how I've at least brought balance back to the world?
You can, give me one second. Okay. I'll tease it. This is how we bring balance back to the world with Gina Grad, right after I tell you about this better be good. Simply Safe. Oh, I've worked with them since they had 10 employees now. They're protecting over 2 million people. And great news, they just released a new brand of home security system. All new Simply Safe. Smaller, faster, stronger. Even better than before. Completely rebuilt and redesigned with new safeguards against power outages, downed Wi-Fi, cut landlines, bats, hammers, you name it. The stuff is bulletproof. The stuff's great. I was just on the phone with these guys. It's nice to see their business really going and growing and flowing, and that's because of guys like you. So, it's the first security system I'd actually call beautiful. You should check it out. You can get 24/7 protection for just $15 a month and no long-term lock-in contracts, but supplies are limited. So visit simplysafe.com/Adam. Great company, better product. Let's protect ourselves in 2018. Simplysafe.com/Adam. All right, Gina, how are we going to save the world?
All right,
let's bring some balance back.
We're talking about all these douches filming you, people, you know, getting all outraged for no reason. Yesterday, driving south on La Brea, there was a big truck next to me, a produce truck, and he was really way too close into my lane. But I just keep driving. He actually ended up kind of clipping my mirror, and it bent it backwards. I didn't know what the damage was, so I pull over. I don't think he's going to pull over, but he did, because I assume that's part of their what the boss tells him to do. I look at my mirror. I just roll down the window. I pop it back to where it needs to be. He starts to get out of the car. I yell back to him, "Nope, we're good. No, are you sure? Are you sure? Yep, no, we're fine. Sir, we're good. I just popped it back. Oh, God, thank you so much." And I drove on and got on with my day.
You're a hero.
No, thank you. I was hoping to hear that I was a hero.
I could imagine the guy later on the phone talking to his friend going, "You know that move where I spot a chick with major cleavage? Because I sit so high up in my truck and I do that move where I take out her rearview mirror. But not so much that it costs me money, but it seems like it needs to be fixed." And then I get on the phone and I start talking about exchanging phone numbers and possible fluid and all that. This bitch just waved me off.
Stuck up bitch.
Just wave me off.
She thinks she's better than me?
Wow.
Yeah.
You went from hero to villain right there.
Adam,
you took her to a villain.
I just imagine that's what the guy did. That's
I didn't know it was his move.
That's his move, man. He sits up high in that truck.
No, you
he
destroyed
looks for
the
cleavage.
Man.
Yeah.
Look, sorry.
From Adam's perspective, you just destroyed a man.
I didn't realize. I feel drunk with power. Okay.
Humiliated him.
Apologize to Matt Damon.
Apologize to the fruit truck guy.
Sorry, fruit truck guy. Well, CBS News reports that for the first time since records have been kept, preventable injuries have become the third leading cause of death in the United States, according to the National Safety Council.
Preventable injuries.
Mm-hmm. In fact, data shows that preventable deaths rose 10% in 2016.
It's like people falling off ladders and stuff?
I'll tell you. The increase was largely due to an uptick in fatal motor vehicle crashes and drug overdoses.
Oh, that's considered preventable.
Yeah, particularly.
Oh, yeah, preventable. Yeah, so people ODing.
Yeah, a lot of this is the opioid. Yeah, and other significant causes of preventable deaths in the report include falling, which they're now really concerned with as the population ages, choking
well,
and drowning.
It's falling, it's hitting the ground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the hard part.
The actual falling part. That's pretty easy on the joints. Yeah. The actual part where you're falling. It's just when you hit the
My dad was at my house for Christmas this year, and he took a fall. He's 86.
Mm-hmm. On the ladder?
No, he's just on the ground. He took a fall off of the platform and of the landing from my stairway, and he hit a thing. And he broke his nose, and there's blood everywhere. He goes, "Call 911. So that's just what my dad said. I pick him up, take him to the hospital. They're sewing him up there. And he's like, "Hey, I was flying these B3. He started talking about it to the guy. And the guy was laughing. He goes, "I really can't laugh while I'm sewing you up. My dad wouldn't take anything for it." He's 86. And
wow.
Just
But I was thinking about that. I was thinking this is just a, you know, 86. He fell really hard, bruised his hip, all this other stuff and everything. But now he's fine.
Does your dad call gas fuel?
I think he does.
All pilots.
He does say
fuel. Yeah, he does. Gassing up the minivan, they're fueling.
Fueling up.
Yeah, it's always fuel. It's never gas.
Yeah, he was a pilot for 20 years. Used to land on aircraft carriers. Used to do
tail hooker.
What?
Tail hooker.
Yeah, tail hooker. Yeah.
He may have been at those conventions back in the day.
He did. I just played in another film. I played Jimmy Doolittle.
Wow. Yeah,
so, and I'm going back to China in March to finish that.
You and Baldwin.
Yeah. And also
in 30 Seconds Over Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
You know that one?
Yeah.
That he was played by, what's his face? I'm forgetting his name all of a sudden.
Chris will find it.
Yeah, Chris will find it.
You know Jimmy Doolittle?
I don't.
Greatest American hero.
Greatest American
doctor?
Pilot?
No.
Probably ever hero.
Yeah, he was the number one. He was the most decorated pilot in World War I that we ever had. And then after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, he came up with the idea of taking the B-25s off the aircraft carriers and to bomb Japan. And yeah. And it...
He was the one at the end of Pearl Harbor screaming, the Alec Baldwin character screaming, we need light ladies or whatever it is, right?
Like, right.
Get all the equipment off the... Right.
Spencer Tracy.
Spencer Tracy, yeah.
So they bombed Pearl Harbor. We wanted to mostly, we're getting our ass kicked in the war, and we wanted a mostly symbolic victory. Like they wanted to say to the newspapers, we bombed Tokyo. And we couldn't really bomb. We couldn't get to Tokyo. We didn't have that kind of range. And the problem is the aircraft carriers were good for small planes. Small planes aren't good for carrying bombs.
Right.
Bigger planes, like medium-sized bombers, never been taken off of an aircraft carrier because it's so short. They need more. They're big.
Okay.
They need runway.
So they gutted them.
They took off. For lightness.
And everybody's like, well, what if they weren't going to have fighter pilots next to them or anything like that. So they're going off.
Yeah.
It was incredible. So he told them, like, what are we going to do if other planes come? He goes, throw broomsticks in there. So they threw broomsticks out as instead of having turrets out there.
Right.
You're like, broomsticks? And they're like, yeah, he was such an amazing guy. But he went on the tour with them to convince them that he wanted to go with them. And they didn't want him to go because he's the most decorated pilot. But he tricked them, went on it, because he said, if these young pilots are going to make it back, if they're going to have any chance of making it back, they're going to need somebody with my experience.
Wow.
Right.
And out of the 80 pilots that went, 16 planes, 64 of them made it back.
Wow.
Now, it was supposed to be a suicide mission.
Now, it's 2018... We have guys with gluten allergies sitting in safe spaces hanging onto their Huggy Bookie because Ben Shapiro's speaking on campus.
Well, you know,
it's great progress we've made as a country.
It was the greatest generation for a reason.
Of course.
You know, it was.
They weren't all pussies. Yes. Sorry, where were we?
No, that was well said. Well, someone's selling an old paper cup that might have once touched Elvis Presley's lips, and there are people willing to pay about $150 for it, according to TMZ.
We're circling the drain.
Yep. Cups supposedly from the King's first concert in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1956. Elvis was only 21 at the time, played his first show there in April of that year. The cup was supposedly taken from his hotel by a woman named June, who then kept it in a box with his autograph picture for decades. So if you're wondering whether it's authentic or not, the nearly 62-year-old cup comes with a letter of authenticity and a notebook full of research supporting this, which includes a few pictures of Elvis with a cup. It's being sold on
what
eBay.
Do you do with
it's a rich history of not drinking from his hands.
Of course, it's a Dixie
We've
cup.
Established a pattern, ladies and gentlemen.
So far, the bid is at
no
$157.
Gourds, no hands.
Yeah. $157.
Yep. And they're hoping it'll go up to $1,000. The seller's hoping for $1,000 for a cup.
I like it when people, when the maids like gather up pubes and things like that from John Lennon. I actually had a gift.
Somebody, but after his death.
Somebody gave me a gift, which was a postage stamp size piece of sheet from John and Yoko's sort of, you know, nap off for peace.
Did they know their audience?
Yeah, it was kind of fun. But it was funny. It was like a little piece from the actual bed. I thought it was sweet.
That's kinda
cool. It was a female. Mm-hmm. Producer worked with us, I think, on The Man Show and beyond, but our director. But it's funny.
Wow.
It's like you could buy a little whatever.
Piece of the Berlin Wall.
It's kind of that.
Same thing.
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let me tell you, get your next story right. I'll tell you guys about Zoom.us. Video conferencing has changed business. Zoom delivers flawless video, clear audio, and instant sharing across any device, desktop, laptop, tablet or mobile device. Dazzling HD video. 25 people can be put on the screen at once. It is so good. It is so much better than Skype. I've tried Skype a few times. It never works. Zoom.us, man. Share anything from any device. Word files, spreadsheets, videos, YouTube photos. Do it from your own phone. Even set up a green screen, create a backdrop for your client's logo or image. It looks like you're at the ballpark or the beach. It's all the best. The technology's unbelievable, and you can check it out for free. Start your account. Visit zoom.us to set up your free account today. Meet happy with Zoom Video Communications. That's zoom.us. Set up your free account. Go ahead. All right, let's do one more.
All right. Well, I don't want this to make your teeth or scrotum hurt, as some of these stories do, but this is all over the news. So,
well, then skip it.
Yeah. Well, all over the news.
What is it?
All right. So the next time you feel a sneeze coming and try to suppress it, you got to think twice about this.
Oh, yeah. That is prolapsed anus all the way.
No,
yes.
No. I mean, maybe, but it didn't happen to this guy.
When I was a kid and I'd see like women, especially like, and they grab their nose, I think like, that's
how
like good
can
blowing your ear
you?
Out. Yeah. Like,
I think about the same thing.
Me. Just go ahead and sneeze.
Yep.
Best feeling ever. You know how every single thing you've ever heard like a sex therapist say, you've always just went, this bitch is crazy. The one thing I heard Dr. Ruse say, somebody said, what's an orgasm feel like? She went, well, it's like just before you sneeze. And I've always enjoyed sneezing ever since I heard that.
Oh, wow.
A little
so
more.
Satisfying.
I was like right where you're like, that last second where you can't control it or you can't stop it. Or, I mean, look, it's as close to it. I don't know, you
Dr.
know,
Ruth
if you said, what's an orange taste like?
Sure.
You have to pick another fruit.
Right.
Wouldn't be the same. But you go like, yeah.
Same.
Also, that was the same time I was sitting in my car listening to Ruth. And the guy called in and he said, I've had sex with my girlfriend a whole bunch of times, and it's always unprotected, and I've never got her pregnant yet, and we never use condoms. She's not on birth control, so what do you think? And Dr. Ruse said, well, do you pull out? And the guy paused and went, yeah, when I'm done. I thought, that's when I realized adults were dumb, right?
Yeah.
Like, how many people have given you that answer?
Right.
I feel like I get that answer at least 5 times a day.
I think that's the
scary.
Best answer ever.
It's a great
that's
answer.
Very
when
scary.
It's like,
done.
Do you think this 80-year-old Jewish German woman is actually asking if you ever leave, if your penis ever leaves the inside of your girlfriend?
I'm with her right now.
And aren't we on the topic of procreation and why she's not?
Well, okay. When I leave.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm done.
When I'm done.
So this dude was 34. He was about to sneeze and decided to stop it by pinching his nose and covering his mouth. And unfortunately, the sneeze had no exit, so the man ended up rupturing his throat and part of his neck. According to a case study published this week from the British Medical Journal, the man immediately felt something sort of pop and experienced a swelling. He also had trouble breathing and swallowing. He ended up being hospitalized for 7 days and fed through a tube until the rupture healed. He's expected to make a full recovery, but please let this be a lesson to all of us.
He should watch Showdown in Manila while he's in the hospital. Just watch it. It's going to be on video on demand. He should just check it out.
It's a great idea.
Video on demand, that is next Thursday, January 23rd. And then he's not well enough to make it to the theater on Friday, January 19th. I hope
Smart.
He doesn't get into the hospital, like share a hospital room with the wrong guy.
Uh-oh. What are you implying?
Well, I'm saying like this guy blew his throat out. Because he was stifling a sneeze.
Yeah.
Like, what if there's a guy in the bed next to him with like a cast on his arm and some cuts on his face? And like, what happened? Well, there's some white supremacists and they were desecrating a synagogue. So I stepped
I had to get
in.
Involved.
I got involved. They had weapons. I didn't, but I did what I could, man. What happened to you? I was going to fart and then I thought I shouldn't. Then I had to sneeze. And I stopped.
I pinched my nose.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, in the bathroom.
You're going to finish that jello?
7 days in the hospital, too.
Oh, I've been in 4 days. It took on 5 white supremacists in a synagogue. It was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. How humiliating.
Yeah, they had razors.
Yeah.
Anyway. What? Oh, that's it? Yeah, let's bring it home.
Okay, you got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
This bitch is crazy.
Gina Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
What about Geico? You got to think about Geico, man. You want to save some money? You want to save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You go with Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. So why would you do anything else? You don't have to leave the house. You just slide over to your computer. Go to Geico.com. Spend a couple minutes cruising around the site and see just how much money you could be saving on your auto insurance. As Geico. Geico.com, man. So, lots of live shows. Washington, D.C., Kennedy Center, February 9th. That's stand-up. And then Sacramento, Thunder Valley Casino. That'll be March 2nd. That's stand-up. Then Cobra. Cobretti, get in my office. That'll be at the Irvine Improv. That is this Thursday, January 25th. So, you see Showdown in Manila on the 23rd. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. 25th. That's Thursday. This is Thursday. Wait a second.
Uh-oh.
What's wrong with our dates? Am I screwing something up?
No.
So I'm going to be at the Irvine Improv Thursday, January 25th, and then Thursday, January 23rd, Showdown in Manila's. Must be Tuesday, January.
Oh, there you go.
It's never easy. Yeah.
The only thing that made me feel really insane is how nobody joined me.
No.
It is January. I'm looking at this too right now.
It'd be Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
That's when things drop. To be fair to Dylan, there's more than one word that starts with a T.
True.
But hey,
and ends in J.
We also have a premiere on the 22nd. Yeah. You should come to it, Adam.
Where is that going to be? Westwood?
Beverly Hills.
Oh, even better. Where?
You're all invited.
Where? On the 22nd. That's Sunday. Monday.
Yeah, you should come to it. They're going to have all those
Dylan
action
says it's Wednesday.
We're going on Monday, the 22nd.
The 22nd in Beverly Hills. I will check my availability.
Yeah, because you're going to have all the people. They'll have Don the Dragon Wilson there. They'll have Cynthia Rothrock. They'll have,
Matt Van Dien.
Alexander, Mark DeCascos,
Tia Carrere,
Mateus Hughes.
Tia's great, by the way.
Yeah, she's awesome. She was in an acting class when I was 19 and she was 20 or 21 or whatever. We're in the same acting class together before she did anything.
Oh, you guys should have been forced to have kids. If I spotted you two in my class, I'd be like, you guys need to mate. We'll do it in a test tube.
There's still time.
I need a version of you two.
Boyfriend,
That's why we do the test tube. I keep it all above the board. All right. So until next time, Adam Kroll for Casper Van Dien and Alexander Nevsky, Gina Grandbald Brian saying mahalo. Well, do you pull out?
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow the Ace Man on the Twitter at Adam Carolla. And give him a thumbs up on Facebook, voicemail, phone number. If you want to leave us one is 888-634-1744. Friday night, come and see Loxy and yours truly play some music along with Zep tribute band Zoso at the Majestic Ventura Theater. A portion of the proceeds will benefit the victims of the Thomas Fire. Saturday night, Corolla Drinks presents Loxy and the Smoking Kills at Di Piazza in Long Beach, California. That's Friday and Saturday night. For tickets and info on all our live podcasts, Mangria events, books, movies, Mangria, Endless Rant, the new logger, go to AdamCarolla.com.